Hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/247sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/247sports.
Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons, the ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Happy Thursday from the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. It's time to pick locks. This is what we do on Thursday mornings. We gather together, a meeting of the minds, some of us on a little bit more of a hot streak than others, and we're competing against each other. The stakes, yet to be determined, certainly glory, and I'm sure some sort of bet that will be paid off next time we all gather together in person. But, gentlemen, Barton Simmons, Tom Fornelli, how are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Barton?
Chip, don't forget, Chip, while this is a competition between the three of us, we are still in an operation to make the people money. Mm. And the syndicate continues to be up on the year, regardless of what the standings are. So if you're picking our plays, you are making money right now.
You owe us money because we're making you rich. That's the way I look at it.
We want our commission. Barton makes a great point. If you have been following all of the plays of the Pick and Locks podcast here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, then yes, you have been getting winners. The standings, as you mentioned, as such, it was a big week for Barton Simmons. +4 on Saturday, hitting on Clemson, Indiana at Virginia, Duke Northwestern over, and Utah -2, a +4 day, bringing him to net +5 overall, the new leader. Tom, the leader after week one, missed on New Mexico, Wake BC under, cashed because the principal plays deserve to, and Arizona State, San Diego State, odd game. Not what we expected at all, Tom.
I did not miss on New Mexico. New Mexico missed on life. That I don't know what the hell happened in that game, but they didn't do anything for three quarters. Then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, they show up and scored like 24 points. But by then it was far too late to get the cover.
And they lose to New Mexico State, rivalry loss, -1 on the day, but still +2 overall in second place. And as a point of order, do I still get credit for this Jacksonville State? Because we locked in on the podcast at +31.5.
Well, the line, though, was like, what, 15?
17.5.
I mean, what was your pick? You were proposing a Jacksonville State +31.5?
Correct.
And what did they end up winning by?
That cashed. What? But Georgia Tech covered
the actual line.
Yeah, the actual line.
I'll let Tom rule on that one.
I think the proper thing to do is, because when we gave you the 31.5 is because there was no line yet, to our knowledge.
Correct.
And then the line, we discovered it before, you know, the game started, and you know, you won the podcast line, but you lost the real line. So the way I figure is you can just
wipe
not it count it at all.
Not
yeah,
count
yeah. Wipe that game.
It's not
clean.
A win, it's not a loss. It's okay. Just, you know, history.
Because I would expect that if you had seen the line open at 16 or whatever it opened at, you might have stayed away from that. Otherwise.
That's true. So we will treat it like the South Florida UConn under, which was another one of my plays, and just scratch it from the record.
Yeah, yep. I like that.
Okay. So a -1 after missing on Arkansas, and good God, that's probably one of my worst misses yet. Ohio State, Oklahoma, over under, also missed, but I cashed on Clemson. -1 on the day. -2 overall. That's why I'm coming with a Barton Simmons pad today. Just a whole bunch of action.
When it comes to that Oklahoma-Ohio State game, I think the under is the only thing I had right about it in the slightest. I don't mean just from a gambling perspective. I mean just from what I expected. I think getting the under right was the only thing I had right.
Is anybody going to throw their Ohio State Army pick or their Oklahoma Tulane pick on the locks?
No.
No.
Yeah, those are two games that when we had to pick them for the expert picks, and of course all of our top 25 picks against the spread and straight up are available on CBSSports.com. My thought was Ohio State's got a really nasty defensive line, and so I'm not going to pick Army even at 30.5 because I don't know what they're going to be able to get going, and Army needed 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns to beat Buffalo last week.
Hey, Buffalo's been they played Minnesota tight week one.
Yeah, Buffalo's.
Buffalo may not be as bad as they've been in the past.
They're proven to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, at the very least, they're annoying people.
What about Tulane, Oklahoma? Anybody got any hot? I saw a lot of Tulanes on the expert picks.
Yeah, I took Oklahoma, but I really don't know. I feel like Oklahoma, after coming off that win last week, probably in for something of a letdown. So I'm not really excited about my pick.
Yeah,
I like Tulane to just figure some things out offensively, just scheme their way into a few, maybe 10 points, and hold Oklahoma to 38. You know, like I don't know. I think it'll be an easy game for Oklahoma, and so I think Tulane could do enough offensively in that unique system to get a couple points on the board.
We've got it's a strange week. This week three of games, some non-cons that are hard to read. But what we have for you are the locks. So, Barton, do you want to get us started with the locks?
Yeah, because you know you're going to me because you know I'm always going to go with the big games, right?
Like, well, and so you're the leader. I feel like it's like honors on the tee box.
That's
you know?
True. That's
like
that.
You've got the leader, so you get to lead us off.
That's a good point. All right, so I will in fact get us kicked off with one of the big games of the weekend. I'll go to that Clemson Louisville game,
mm-hmm.
and I'm playing Clemson -3.5. Is it down to 3 now?
It's down to 3 now. Yeah.
Oh hell yeah! I'll take that. give me Clemson -3. Look, here's what it boils down to, for me. It's a ton of trust in Brent Venables. Clemson comes off of a game where they were really good defensively. It was a physical game. They're not in a position where there's going to be a letdown because this is ACC play. There's no misconception about the threat of losing this game. They saw Lamar Jackson last year. I think that they're going to be ready. Yes, it's on the road. But Brent Venables has seen Lamar Jackson now. He'll be prepared for him. That's a defensive line that is maybe the best front. I think it is the best front four in college football. And I believe that Louisville, despite Lamar Jackson probably being better than last year, I think everywhere else they're not as good. They don't have the wide receiver threats they had last year. Their offensive line might be improved in the long run, but they're young. Their defense, not as good as last year. Look, they've almost lost to Purdue. They've messed around with North Carolina team that is clearly not very good. I just think this team has to have a lot more pieces to really threaten Clemson. I think that defense is good enough to contain Lamar Jackson. Not saying he won't score some points. Not saying he won't get his. But I just think that you got to be a complete team to beat Clemson this year. And I'm going to keep – I've been high on Clemson from the summer on, and I'm going to keep on riding them. And if you're going to give me a field goal and that's it, then I'm going to go ahead and lay those points and take the Tigers.
I am also on Clemson. Tom, you want to get in on this?
It's not a lock for me, but I'm also on Clemson minus the points. My only real concern, though, is I agree with Barton on Clemson's defensive line and against Louisville's offensive line. I just feel like Lamar Jackson is going to have to be extra Lamar Jackson for Louisville to have a chance to win this game because he's probably going to be running around for his life a lot of the night. My fear is that, you know, I mean, Louisville nearly knocked off Clemson last year in Death Valley. Game's in Louisville this year. Last year, Clemson had Deshaun Watson. While Kelly Bryant's been good and promising so far this year, what we've seen from the Clemson offense through two games, not quite what we were accustomed to the last few years with Deshaun Watson under center. So I worry that even if the Clemson defense is able to keep Lamar Jackson in check for most of the night, Lamar Jackson's still going to make a play or two at some point. And I wonder, especially after what I saw from that Clemson offense against a good Auburn defense last week, if Clemson's going to be able to, if I can trust it enough to really outscore Louisville and cover that spread, although I'm still taking Clemson, but I do have concerns.
Listen, Clemson does not want to have this game be a shootout. They don't want this to be 42-36 like it was a year ago. But, and that's where I go back to a year ago with my, and I am throwing Clemson on my lock pad, but that game, the game flow of it, I don't think can be replicated this year because Clemson went up 28-10 in that game. Got a little bit soft, you know, got a little bit conservative, and then Lamar just started dicing them up. And it was this furious second half charge that, of course, ended, you know, with Lamar getting the ball last and James Quick getting forced out 1 yard short of the sticks on fourth down. But like, that was a game that Clemson was dominating. Clemson's defense was bottling Lamar up. They were scoring touchdowns on offense. Deshaun Watson was leading them right down the field, like, pretty consistently. And then it is going to be this Saturday, one of those Saturday night ABC. They say it's at 8 o'clock, but it's not actually going to kick off until like 8:30 Eastern time. And I remember being in that stadium, and it was just like the fans, like everybody in the building was just exhausted. And Lamar was like leading this touchdown drive after touchdown drive, and things got kind of panicky. And there was a little bit of like worry about Lemon Booty at that point, particularly given what Lamar had done to Florida State. And I just think that kind of game flow, we're not going to see it because Clemson's offense, like, I think this game is going to be tight the whole way. And when I start to match up all the different parts of the game, like, I think that Clemson's defense is the elite unit. I think that Lamar Jackson is the elite player. But on the other side, seeing Louisville's defense allow North Carolina to get a lot of yards, spreading it out, using a little bit of the quarterback run threat, I think that Kelly Bryant is going to love not having Auburn's defensive line in his face all day. And I think that he's gonna be able to find some stuff on tape to be able to have some success. Again, I don't think this is going to be a shootout, but when things get tight, I think you got to pick a winner at the 3-point spread, and I think Clemson wins this game.
This is a tougher game for me to pick if the spread's like even like 6.
Agree.
But I just look, I guess there's always a chance Clemson, like, I don't think Clemson loses this game. And I guess there's always a chance they can win this game by one, and it's really a crazy game, but look, if it's a field goal, or if a field goal pushes, to me this is just an easy play. And I understand how difficult an atmosphere that's going to be. And I know Lamar Jackson can put a team on his back. But look, I said it in our Monday podcast, Chip. I think Brent Venables is the best coordinator in college football, regardless offense, defense, whatever. He's going to have a game plan, and as long as they can stay focused and continue to push Louisville to score points and get some points on the board their own. I really like Clemson.
The Cardinals can't run the ball. They've got no rushing attack outside of Lamar Jackson.
Well, I think another fear would probably be, you know, does Clemson eat on too many Papa John's breadsticks and get slothy?
Just drizzling garlic sauce down Dexter Lawrence's belly.
Yeah. These are things you can't really account for.
All right, so we got Clemson. Tom, what do you have?
My very first pick, I'm going to South Carolina -6 at home against Kentucky.
I was wondering if someone was going to play that one.
I got this one too.
That seems too small to me. I look at Kentucky, and it's a team where I think the defense is solid enough across the board, but I just don't see any consistency from that Kentucky offense. And I feel like this is one of those games where over the course of 60 minutes, Kentucky's offense just isn't going to be able to do enough to really, you know, stay on the field long enough. And it's probably going to be a game that's close in the first half, but I think the Kentucky defense is going to wear down in the second half. And then South Carolina is just kind of going to take over for the last 30 minutes. And I'm guessing this is going to be a 2-score game by the time it's over. So the fact that I only have to lay less than one touchdown with the Gamecocks makes me pretty confident in this one taking South Carolina.
Yeah, I think they come back from that Missouri game at home with a lot of confidence. I think South Carolina might be a good football team. I'm almost ready to say South Carolina might be a good football team. And when it comes to winning games in the SEC East, you don't even necessarily have to be a good football team to be able to get those conference wins.
Just show up. I mean, I feel like that's a huge part of winning the SEC East. It's like, you know, a lot of people with work, just if you go every day, you'll probably get promoted at some point. I feel like that's what South Carolina is this year in the East.
Yeah. I mean, am I completely giving no respect to Kentucky, Barton? You gave a ooh. So,
I gave a Chip Patterson ooh because I almost put this game among my locks, and I backed off as I started to sort of write out the reasons why I liked it, because I didn't find as many reasons as I thought I would. I really liked it. Obviously, this is going to be a really good atmosphere. It's going to be at home. I liked South Carolina before the season to be a lot better than the 5.5 win total that Vegas set. But I also think that this is the SEC East. And like you guys say, all you got to do is show up. And Kentucky, I don't think is a lot different than South Carolina in terms of what they are capable of being. Their defense is still really good and probably better than South Carolina's defensively. South Carolina has had some, I mean, sort of circumstantial. I mean, that wasn't – they didn't blow Missouri out. I mean, the score presented it. But, I mean, Missouri still moved the ball. And I think that game, the way the game played out, it's a little closer than the score presents. This one is just look. If I had to pick a side, I'd go with the side y'all are on. But I got scared in this just thinking about look. Kentucky's going to be. They had some injuries at the offensive line. It's going to take them a little time to gel. They're going to get there. They'll get the run game figured out. Defensively, they're still really good. To me, this game is going to be a lot closer than like I hear a lot of South Carolina fans like acting like they're disrespected by the. -6.
Oh, like, that's a bad mistake. I like the value. I think that South Carolina is a touchdown better, and I like the value of getting it at 6.
I just think, yeah. If I were to play it, I'd take South Carolina. But even as someone that has liked South Carolina, there's a little bit of a fear to me that they're getting overhyped by beating an overrated NC State team. And a Missouri team that we don't really know anything about yet. And Kentucky has won two games in ugly fashion, but that's who they're going to be all year. They're just going to, when they win, they'll win ugly. You don't expect anything sexy from Kentucky this year, but I still think they got a chance to win a lot of games. So it's just a game that scares me some. I'm glad y'all picked it just because I'm interested in see what happens, but I'll sit it out.
Y'all wanna live on the edge? I got a couple live on the edge picks. All right, so
I like living on the edge.
The Vegas line at 7. I'm gonna take Klanga at home. Mississippi State +7 with LSU coming to town.
I don't hate that in the slightest.
All these games have been tight. All these games have been like 2, 3, 5 point games. This is with road trips coming up against Georgia and Auburn. This is like one of the biggest games of Mississippi State season. And I don't think that's going to necessarily play into much other than the atmosphere, at Davis-Wade Stadium. But like, I like we've got Arius Williams and Nick Fitzgerald both averaging over like 7 yards per carry. And yeah, they've been beating up on Louisiana Tech and Charleston Southern, but I think that if you like Mississippi State coming into this season, I think that you like them to be in this game and right at 7. I just see no chance. As good as Darius Geis has been, and with the potential that he's probably going to be able to get his. I mean, I'm giving Todd Grantham some love and looking at that Mississippi defense to stand up at home. Under the lights, in a hot Starkville night. I think that they could pull off the upset, but I love the fact that I'll be able to get a touchdown on it.
I'm with you. I've got it. I'm locked. I'm going Mississippi State plus 7 too. And I actually think I'm picking them to win this game. I think Mississippi State wins this game. And I've actually been on this since like May or June. Like since I started just sort of looking at schedules, this is a game I circled and I thought there's a real opportunity here for an upset. It's a night game. Cowbells will be clanging. The atmosphere is going to be big time. And Mississippi State, LSU's look great. Don't get me wrong. And I think there's an advantage in the sense that LSU has, in two games with a new offensive coordinator, they have not had to show much at all. They could be vanilla and they could get through with some W's, and you're going to see a difficult offense to defend. So this is going to be another. If you're looking for just like additional plays, I like Mississippi State plus 7, but I also like the tees with the over in this one because I think both teams are going to be able to score some points.
Ooh.
So like tees it down to 45.5, I think, and take the over there. I like that play because, look, I think Matt Canada is going to be able to score. I think Nick Fitzgerald is going to be able to move the ball against LSU. Their defense is good. There's no question. But let's not overrate a BYU, a shutout against a BYU team that scored 4 touchdowns in 3 games. You know, one of those games being Portland State. So I think, in addition, LSU's got Arden Key a little banked up, a freshman, a defensive at outside linebacker, where when Arden Key's not in, and Caleb on Chasen. Those guys are going to be tested with a defense that will put a lot of pressure on edge defenders with Nick Fitzgerald. I just trust Mississippi State to figure out a way to score some points. I think that defense has improved. I watched them last week with Louisiana Tech. They got after it. I like Mississippi State to win this one.
Straight up winners. I love it. I think, all right, so we're not putting a whole lot of value in Arden Key coming back because we think that ultimately it's going to take him some time.
I mean, the way I phrased it this week is I think he's going to flash and he's going to make some plays, but he's not in football shape. I wouldn't expect him to play every down. He may have a sack. He may have a forced fumble. Like, he may impact the game, but it's just not going to be a every play impact. And I think that's getting him fresh off of injury, and not even, I don't even think he's going to be slowed by injury. I just think he's not going to be in shape yet. So that's going to be something to watch. How much does he play, and how much can LSU or how much can Mississippi State stay on the field offensively and just get some long drives?
All right, Tom, hit me with the lock.
My next lock, following Sting in the SEC, kind of, taking Purdue plus 7.5 at Missouri.
Man, that's another interesting one.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's a part of me that's not exactly thrilled and excited about trusting Purdue as a lock yet. But it's just, I look at this situation, Purdue through 2 weeks, the offense has played well. It played well against Louisville. The defense, I think, you know, Jeff Brohm gets a lot of attention, obviously, for what he's done in offense. But through 2 weeks, Purdue's defense has been pretty sturdy. Even, you know, against Louisville, it held up pretty well against Lamar Jackson in that offense. And, of course, last week against Ohio, it completely smothered the Bobcats offense, which, you know, it's Ohio. But Frank Solich's team has generally always been a pretty solid MAC team, and they did not look that good against Purdue last week. So they're going on the road, which is a concern against Missouri. But Missouri is a team that literally just fired its defensive coordinator after last week's game, is a team that defensively has clearly had problems, and offensively didn't score as many points as they looked better than their point total last week against South Carolina. But I just feel like getting over a touchdown with Purdue is a little too enticing for me to pass up. I'm taking the Boilermakers on the road as my lock. They're going to cover. I'm not going to call for the outright win, but I'm not going to say it's not in play either.
I mean, Missouri and Purdue are two of my teams right now that I don't have any idea on. I don't know. I still haven't gotten – Missouri's clearly improved, but I just can't get a gauge for just how legit are they. And Missouri is just, I mean, who the hell knows? It's hard for me to figure them out. I mean, is Barry Odom really going to have this bad a defense in consecutive seasons? I know they just fired their DC, but is, you know, and you know, credit Will Muschamp for limiting the big plays and keep, you know, bending but not breaking against them last week. But I'll be interested in watching it. This is a tough one for me to figure out, but I it'll be fun to watch that pick play out.
Yeah, I don't want to touch Purdue quite yet. I'm just
get on board the Brom train, buddy.
Well, you are other people are out here trying to say they were on it first. You were watching.
No,
you were watching Jeff Brom. You were watching Jeff Brom when he was playing the local theater with only 80 people in attendance. You were front row, knowing all the words. You've been on the Brom train.
Yeah, he was the quarterback coach at Illinois, is what you're referring to, when there were only 80 people in the stands for those games. Yes, I've been on the Jeff Brom train for a long time, and I'm gladly welcoming everybody on board, but it's just like, don't pretend you've been here all along with me, folks.
Nah, the line is behind Tom for sure, but I'm not quite ready yet. I'm not ready. Is anybody going to make a Gators Vols play?
No.
Yeah.
You are?
I'm on it.
Oh, yes. All right, well, before we get to Barton's lock, just a reminder, CBS Sports is streaming the SEC Game of the Week every Saturday at 3:30 this weekend. Of course, you want to check out Florida, number 24, hosting number 23, Tennessee, in Gainesville. Stream it for free on CBSSports.com or on the CBS Sports app for tablet and phone. So if you can't get to TV to watch the big CBS, pull it up on your phone, pull it up on your computer. You've got the coach's cam, you know, the all 22 camera angle that you can watch when you watch it on the desktop, and the mobile feed is great and is good for air playing. So, with that being said, Barton, what's your lock on this game?
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida minus -5. There's a lot of reasons why I lean Florida here. But look, this is a team that's had 2 weeks to let that Michigan taste settle in their mouth. This is a team Jim McElwain's had plenty of time to autopsy that game and get some things corrected. They're making some changes offensively. I think there's going to be a unifying circle the wagons mentality in the swamp, not only because of what happened against Michigan, but because of the hurricane. I think there'll be a lot of good positive energy there. I think the stadium will be rocking. And I also think, like, and this isn't even a rhetorical question. Like, I'm curious to know y'all's answer to this. What position group would you give Tennessee an advantage over Florida?
Defensive line.
You think Tennessee's defensive line is better than Florida's defensive line?
I think Tennessee's defensive line is better than Florida's offensive line.
Okay, but I'm putting it to you this other way. Like, name a position group like...
Oh, okay. All right, I got you. Like, not say, like in the matchup advantage, but if they're lined up side by side.
Right. Like, you could make a case for... You could maybe make a case. Yeah, I mean, John Kelly's good. I guess you could make a running back case. You could maybe, like, you could mount an argument for offensive line. But to me, that's probably it. I actually think Felipe Franks is probably the better quarterback than Quentin Dormady. We didn't really get a chance to see that against Michigan because he didn't really get that opportunity. But like Goldkamp said when we talked to him, I mean, he threw 9 passes and
only
one. One of them was basically a miss. The other 8 were like either throwaways or good decisions, good throws. Like,
they were good defensive plays. Like, he was making a good decision, a good throw, and an all world athlete in the Michigan secondary made a play.
Right. Yeah. So there's the knock on the quarterback play at Florida, it probably is a little overstated at this time, just given how much they got pestered by Michigan. So I'm at a point where I just think this is going to be a spot. And plus, what, like, Tennessee has not given us any reason to trust them in this series. Yeah, they won last year, but that took a Herculean effort by Derek Barnett and a crazy second half for it to happen. This, to me, just I trust Florida more in this spot. And Tennessee, for whatever reason, I know that was ugly against Michigan, but to me, Michigan is a more formidable opponent than Georgia Tech. And Tennessee, you know, had their issues against Georgia Tech too. I mean, Marquez Callaway, four catches away from, like, if Marquez Callaway just, you know, is sick that morning, that game isn't close. So this is, I like Florida here at home, 5 points, a win by a touchdown or more. I just don't have any confidence in Tennessee yet.
Here's my concern. First of all, I had to pick this game in pick six, and it made me upset that Florida State and Miami got postponed because, you know, I have to pick two big games. And the fact that that was the second biggest game of the weekend that I had to pick it made me mad. But I had to do it, and I went with Tennessee plus 5.5 for a few reasons. It's not a pick I feel confident about in the slightest. But, you know, Florida's still dealing with suspensions. And then the fact that I don't think the hurricane is something that's going to be a rallying force for Florida. I think that maybe emotionally it'll feel good. But it's just, even though they had last week off, I feel like the coaches and players had their lives completely, you know, flipped over on their heads. They had the time off, but I don't think preparing for Tennessee was what they were spending their time doing. You know what I mean? And I think that with their lives in upheaval and just worrying about their families and their situations at home, who the hell knows what's going on with each individual player? I just have some concerns with Florida where it's really going to be fired up and ready for this game, even though it is Tennessee. So because of that, I'm going with Tennessee in the points. But again, I don't have much faith in the line either way. The one thing is, I think Felipe Franks is a better quarterback than Quinton Darmody. It's just based on what we've seen. Even though Tennessee's offense struggled for a lot of that game against Georgia Tech on Labor Day, at least Tennessee's offense has shown a pulse of some kind to me so far this season, whereas Florida's offense, and I know Michigan's defense is really good, but Florida's offense just looked completely useless in that game.
Well, I would say this too. Like, I understand that the hurricane is not a positive necessarily in just like on paper. But what I've found is even like with those distractions, and I agree, like it's not like they've been sitting here watching film for 2 weeks straight. There's a lot going on. But I find like typically in these sort of extreme situations, those off the field distractions are often like really force a team like this to like zero in and like focus in even tighter. And I've found, and there's no statistic here that I can cite. This is just observational, that a lot of times that's teams play well in those extreme circumstances. And so that's why I kind of, not as a primary reason for picking it, but that's sort of an ingredient in there. And again, this is also some, you know, this to your other point, this is just a little bit of faith that Florida is not as bad as they looked offensively against Michigan. Because I don't think don't think they are.
Yeah. I hope not. Because if they are, it's going to be a long year.
Dude, did you it was interesting. We had Barton mentioned we had Thomas Goldkamp from Florida's 24/7 site on, and he was like, he wasn't putting Jim McElwain on the hot seat, but I didn't realize it had gotten that bad, Barton.
Yeah, I think he said toxic.
Yeah, he was like, we are really close to the fan base turning toxic. And once that happens, you've lost them at a place like Florida. Like, ooh.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's one thing to lose if you're fun at Florida. But when you're losing and you're no fun to watch, it's like, you know. I'm not surprised that it's starting to turn a little quickly there. I mean, I thought maybe I think I think once Florida keeps going, if they could pick up a couple wins here and not look as horrible as they did against Michigan, it'll turn back again pretty quick. But with just the way they looked in that loss to Michigan, it's not surprising to me at all to hear that fans might be getting a little fed up there.
But that's another reason why this game is fascinating, because it's pretty close to toxic at Tennessee too. Like people are very close. I think the fan base sort of vibe is very similar both Florida and Tennessee. Like they both have had relative success lately. Tennessee just won 9 games for 2 straight years after a Derek Dooley era where they're pretty miserable. Florida's coming off 2 straight SEC East titles. And yet, it's not enough for either fan base, and they're both so antsy right now. So that's why there's a lot of pressure on this game, because the loser just is just going to be uncomfortable. It's just going to be awkward for the loser to just walk back into the office on Monday.
Are you saying that big win over Indiana State didn't appease the Vol fan base?
Yeah, I think they're waiting for a little more than that.
Well, this makes for a good transition. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Because, you know, say you are looking for a new position within your athletic department. Well, you could, because it's good for businesses of all sizes, you could go over to ZipRecruiter. Because with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. See, that's why ZipRecruiter is different. You don't have to worry about that list in the top shelf and having to go find candidates. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within just one day. You don't have to worry about juggling emails or calls to your office from agents. Just simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. So if you're listening and you're thinking of, and you're hiring and you need to go find these candidates, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Here's how you do it. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/247sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/247sports. One more time, try it for free today. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/247sports.
It's cheaper than a search firm.
It's cheaper, way cheaper than a search firm. All right, does anybody have a Texas USC play?
Not a lock, yeah. But I feel pretty safely about USC.
Against the spread?
Texas on this. But yeah, go. What do you think on it, Tom?
I just, you know, it's a big spread, at least where we picked it at Next for Picks. I don't know if it's come down at all in recent days, but we picked it at 17.5. But I just saw, I didn't want, like when I was watching USC's game against Stanford on Saturday night, I was very impressed, just to be completely clear. It wasn't a game where I sit there, you know, I didn't want to fall for the USC is quote unquote back kind of, you know, talk that might come with it, but they looked backish.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line played, it was getting its butt kicked in the first quarter by that Stanford front, but then it just got its act together and it pretty much pushed Stanford's front around for the rest of the game. USC defensive line, same story. It struggled in that first quarter, then it got its act together and it definitely looked a lot better than it had in the week before against Western Michigan and in the first quarter when Bryce Love tore off a 75-yard touchdown run. Sam Darnold looked great. The receivers looked great. Deontay Burnett looks like he's going to be the next, you know, great USC receiver. Ronald Jones is Ronald Jones. There's still talent in the linebackers and in the secondary. I just, from watching that team, you know, if that had been against any other Pac-12 team, I probably wouldn't have taken it too seriously. But the fact that they played that well and looked that dominant for most of the game against Stanford on Saturday night, I think USC might actually be capable of living up to the hype this year until they, you know, they lose the game they're not supposed to. But I don't think that's going to be this game. Texas, they had, you know, it's, I think Tom Herman's going to win. I was a big kind of Texas hype driver going into the season, saying that it was a dark horse for the playoff. And I still think it's a very talented team. But what we saw in that Maryland game is just all of the problems that were problems of the last few years still exist, and beating the crap out of San Jose State last week hasn't done anything to really change that in my mind. So I don't think Texas is going to get blown out or dominated in this game. I just think that USC is going to be, you know, just a solid win. It's probably going to be really close to the spread. I hate that hook. The hook scares me. But I would not be surprised to see USC winning this game by 18 to 21 points.
I think Deontre Burnett's emergence against Stanford is big. That was one of the things that, to me, was really missing against Western Michigan, was a receiver stepping up to replace the guys they lost and really being an elite, big-time outside threat. And Burnett was that against Stanford. And if he's that moving forward, and they've got those guys in the backfield with Stephen Carr, Ronald Jones, and they got that dude under center and Sam Darnold, they're going to be pretty tough to stop offensively. So T. Martin is looking pretty smart right now with that crew. So I agree. USC looks really good. I took Texas, and this is not a lock for me.
I don't think this is a lock for anybody.
Not a lock for me.
No. But it's one of the biggest games.
But I just think it's too many points. I think Texas is going to continue to improve. Look, Tom Herman is 6-0 all time against top 5 teams or something. Is that right? Top 10 teams?
Yeah, he's going to win the big games, and then he's going to lose to Maryland.
Not against his spread, like outright. He wins these games. He wins up by like an average of 16 points. He's going to have these guys prepared. It'll be an interesting game, but Texas is talented enough to run with these guys. Whether they do or not is just up to their mentality. And I'll bank on Tom Herman to bail us out after that week one dud.
By the way, we had to pick it at 17.5 in our expert picks for the site, but in real life, as we record this, it's down to 15.5.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that gets you closer to wanting to pick USC for sure.
And Tom, by the way, talk to our boy J. Darren Darst. He's got you on the hook for Hook'em Horns plus 17.5.
He probably does, because I probably picked it originally.
I'm thinking Tom Herman. I'm thinking the talent disparity is not that big. And I don't know. 17.5 seems like a lot of points for one of these high-profile clashes. Just doesn't feel right.
Hey, if USC covers, I'm going to be that dude holding up the sword leading the band after the game.
Right. all right, so... To review, before we get back into the locks, Barton, I've got you down for Clemson -3, Mississippi State +7, Florida -5. Tom, I've got you with South Carolina -6, Purdue +7.5. Chip's got Clemson -3, South Carolina -6, Mississippi State +7. Tom, hit me with another lock.
All right, this is not going to be a surprise to anybody that pays attention to me. I'm going with an under, and the under I am choosing happens to be taking place in the Northwestern versus Bowling Green matchup this Saturday. It's one of the more exciting games of the weekend. The number's at 57, which just seems way too high to me. Yeah, exactly. That was my response when I first saw it. I was like, wow, 57. Just a fun little stat. Since the start of 2015, Northwestern has played in 9 games where the point total was 50 or higher. The under has come through in 7 of them. The last time that there was a total over 50 that the over came through was last week, thanks to Duke and Daniel Jones, or Danny Football, as I've seen some Duke fans calling him. I don't expect Bowling Green's offense to have the same kind of success as Duke's. Bowling Green's offense, not quite as good or talented as Duke's. And Northwestern's offense, to me, it really struggled last week on the road. I expect it to play better this week against a bad Bowling Green team. It's just the Northwestern offense is never really in a rush to get anywhere. So I feel like this is a game where Northwestern could still score between 42 and 45 points rather easily, and the under will still come through because I don't see Bowling Green coming to score more than 10. So I feel like the under here is a very safe play, and I'm not too worried about it at all.
Love it.
Yeah. After watching Northwestern last week, well, frankly, after watching them 2 weeks in a row, I'm okay with unders indefinitely. Yeah.
Northwestern has long been good to the under.
Yeah, had you told me that stat on Northwestern overs at 50 plus last week, I would have 100% backed off that pick. Like I may have lucked into that one. Danny Football bailed me out because that guy's he's legit.
300, 100 every day, baby. He's just out here getting it done. The true dual threat superstar in the ACC.
Is a Duke quarterback.
Dude, Cutcliffe said this week, he's like, oh, he's got the chance. He's starting to become a very good quarterback. Cutcliffe says he hadn't even reached his ceiling yet.
Future first rounder.
Yeah. He took the mantle and the belt from Clayton Thorson in that game.
He did. Though I still remain steadfast that Clayton Thorson can be a future first rounder. It just won't be this year. He'll help stay for that redshirt senior year.
I think he took Clayton's girlfriend too, the way he played him on Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, I've got an under that's really living on the edge. I'm gonna get on this train, and I think I might be on this train often. It's a low number, but I like it. I want to feed this exhilaration into an otherwise kind of questionable week three slate. Wisconsin BYU under 41.
I don't blame the idea at all, simply because I feel like with any BYU game this season, the under is going to be a smart play. My only concern there is I wonder if Wisconsin can nearly cover that itself.
Very prepared for that.
Yeah. My main concern. Wisconsin could put up like 38 in this game. You know what I'm saying? If it gets rolling, it could go downhill fast for BYU.
Jonathan Taylor's a good running back. I'm very prepared for that. Go ahead, Barton.
Well, I interrupted you, so sorry. But to me, the only way that Wisconsin blows this out to where they cover that over is if they get some defensive scores. Because I think BYU, for all as bad as BYU's been this year, their defense is still legit. Like, their defense is I think, a really good unit. So I think they'll be able to hold Wisconsin in check. It's just a matter of whether their offense can keep Wisconsin from scoring.
Barton or Tom, how many locks do y'all have left?
Zero.
I've got one left.
Okay. Hit me.
I'm going to Laramie.
Oh.
Wyoming at home catching 2 touchdowns.
Is this game not in Autzen? No. Oh, it is in Laramie.
No. Yeah.
It's on the road.
Ooh.
Craig Bohl, I know he didn't kill it in week one against Iowa, but those are very similar teams. You know, one team has just got more talent than the other. It's a low-scoring game. It was that was a little bit strength on strength, and Iowa is just going to out-muscle them. This is a contrasting styles. You know, Oregon's going to try to be fast-paced, spread it around. Wyoming's going to be more physical, let's see how tough you are type of ball. Look, Josh Allen was really bad in the opening week game against Iowa. This is his chance on a big stage against a Pac-12 team to get right. You know, he's going to be really motivated. I think they're going to be really motivated. That's going to be a great atmosphere. That's a big-time game. And don't forget that Craig Bohl is like, he basically invented like 1AA teams beating 1A teams. You know, 2011 at North Dakota State, won at Kansas. 2012, won at Minnesota. 2013, won at K-State. Once he moved up to Wyoming, you know, they beat San Diego State and Boise State last year at home. Oregon was 1-5 on the road last year. They played 2 home games this year. They look pretty good so far. But again, we're going to see another level of test against that Oregon secondary. That Oregon defense has got a lot of freshmen playing. Now they got to go on the road at night into a totally different environment. And again, you're talking about 14 points I'm not saying that Wyoming wins this game, but I think that they could keep it ugly enough, make a few big plays from Josh Allen to keep this thing close. I'm going Wyoming plus 14.
I love it. I love it. This is this the game where Josh Allen gets all of his NFL draft highlights?
He better. If Josh Allen doesn't have a big time game, like how can you say he's a first round quarterback if he's gonna go 0-for-2, just duds against the only two Power Five teams he plays as a senior. That's why, and I think he probably will have a good game. So I don't know. We'll see.
Because I do see a Thomas Graham in that backfield ready to make some plays on a bad read.
Yeah, but you know Thomas Graham too. He'll make some plays, but he's also going to make a few freshman mistakes. I think that this freshman group is not going to be perfect, and there's a bunch of freshmen playing, especially in the middle on the defensive line. Those guys are going to get tested. I don't know. I just like the game. I like the atmosphere. I like the spot they're getting them in, and I think it's going to be a good test for Oregon.
Was Thomas Graham a Camp Buzz player?
Yeah,
I thought so.
I don't know if I can't remember if I mentioned him or not, but he would have been. I mean, he was a guy we knew was probably going to start, before the season, and he showed up last week.
Players that are making a buzz. Camp, talking about players that are buzzing.
Thought so. I thought he was. You did a whole Oregon bit. You rolled off like three or four Oregon freshmen.
Yeah, all those guys look good. Yeah. Jordan Scott, D tackle in the middle, is playing really well. Austin Falu, who's another true freshman. Like, they got two true freshmen, those guards, that are been really good. And then they got Thomas Graham on the back end. They got a wide receiver that's making a lot of plays. And then, they've got Justin Herbert's only a sophomore, who's obviously really good. Oregon's going to be pretty good long term. They're just, I think there's going to be some missteps along the way.
I got SMU plus 19 against TCU.
Yeah, I'm with it.
I'm not loving. I haven't learned my lesson from picking against TCU, but I think Cortland Sutton is a good enough individual player, and that SMU team has come far enough for this little in-state group of five battle to be a little bit of an uncomfortable win for the Horned Frogs, particularly coming off that big win in Fayetteville. What do y'all think?
I mean, it's a lot of points that you're getting. So SMU has looked pretty decent to start the year. I'm not fully in on the Mustang ride just yet. I wouldn't be shocked if it happens. I don't want to make it a lock though. I'm more invested in the over in that game than I am the spread.
What is the over in that game? Let's see. Is it 72?
No, it is at 64.5 right now.
Wow. Okay. Speaking of over-unders, have you guys taken a look at the Pitt-Oklahoma State over-under?
Yeah, it's really high.
It's been nosediving.
Is it good? Because it should be nosediving.
That's a game where you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna be a lot of points, and I want to say maybe even the money is on the over. I don't think that's a good play.
You know how many pass yards Trace McSorley had last week?
How many?
190 or something. Like, yeah. He didn't even have 200. That game, I'm actually thinking about. Currently, I'm on my expert picks. I'm on Oklahoma State, but I'm actually really considering switching it to Pitt because I think that game, he had 164 last week. Trace McSorley had 164 yards passing. Saquon Barkley had 88 yards rushing. Pitt outgained Penn State last week in total yards. it was that game was a lot closer than the score indicated, and that was on the road in Happy Valley. This one is going to be at home. I think Pitt is the type of team that can sneak up on in a spot like this. I'm not giving it out, but I'm very tempted to take Pitt plus the points in our expert picks.
Switch send in that that switcheroo to J. Darren Darst.
I made the switcheroo last week with Fresno State, Alabama. That paid off.
Mm. So
my late week audits are 1-0. So maybe I'll get 2-0 today.
All right.
You know, to go back to the line movement, Chip. That number in the total has gone. It opened at 65 and it's gone down to 63.5 in the last day. But that's while 56% of people are betting the over. So we got some of that reverse line movement action going on.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want another reverse line movement that is intriguing that I actually kind of like?
Yeah.
Sure.
How about Iowa, North Texas? It opened at 24, down to 21.5, with almost 80% on Iowa.
Mm.
And Iowa, after that big time win, or like emotional win against rival Iowa State last week, they got North Texas this week, followed by a huge game next week against Penn State. I mean, just like a classic sandwich opportunity here for North Texas to just sneak in there, keep this thing close, you know, get out of there with a 14-point loss, and you know, Iowa moves on to Penn State and gets focused there. I mean, I don't know enough about North Texas. I haven't watched them at all this year. I know they were really improved last year, and I would think they'll take another step forward this season. But if I had even sniffed a North Texas game the first 2 weeks, I'd be pretty tempted to take this one.
Mean green. We'll have to
check. You're not on that North Texas flow. You're not paying much attention to the mean green this year. Come on, man. Everybody's got to be on that.
Do you need a pay-per-view package to watch the mean green? Do you need to have like the American Sports Network digital tier to be able to catch those games?
Mean green has played. They played Lamar in week one. That'd probably be a little tough to find on the
our good buddy Lamar
radio dial. Then SMU last week.
All right,
lost 54-32 to SMU last week. So, you know, 1-1.
These should be primetime ABC games.
Primetime game. I got a sixth lock because I just got to throw a lot of action out
there.
Whoa!
Our first sixth spot.
Yeah. Central Michigan at Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. Give me the basketball scores. We're going over 67.5. Noted superstar Central Michigan quarterback Shane Morris out here is going to be slinging it. And this Syracuse offense, after that, after like a really, really disappointing performance against Middle Tennessee, I think that they'll be able to open this up. I think that this game is decided in the 30s for sure, and I think Syracuse is the better team. Give me like a 45-35, 42-37 kind of game, over 67.5.
Time for Dino to start winning some ball games. You better it's time for that offense to start clicking. He said year three is the year it's supposed to happen. So, yeah, I mean, that's – I mean, I'm not touching that, but hey, like, we've been waiting 5 years to ride the Shane Morris heater. You might as well jump on board now.
Oh man, let's see. What were some other any other lines that stood out as weird or strange as you were perusing and trying to figure out what to do?
I thought, you know, it's not one of my locks, but I thought a line that was a little low is the number in Stanford San Diego State's at 48.5, which I thought is too low. So I would take the over in that one simply because I feel like that's a game, again, like I mentioned with your Wisconsin pick earlier in BYU, I feel like Stanford's capable of getting into the 40s in its own. in this game against San Diego State. And San Diego State's offense with Rashawn Penny and running, you know, he's a new name to learn, folks. But I feel like San Diego State's offense is good enough where it's going to be able to get about 17 to 20 points against Stanford. Stanford, I expect to get between 35 and 42 points. So when I see the over-unders at 48.5, I feel like that's a very solid overplay for me. And then another under I was considering for my lock, but I couldn't quite pull the trigger on it. We all know I like to stick at 3. Kansas State and Vanderbilt, the number's at 51. I feel very good about the under in that game.
I felt too good about Kansas State covering that line until I saw Nashville resident Barton Simmons on the doors.
Yeah, that I'm very interested in that game. I split the baby on that one. I got Kansas State winning and Vanderbilt covering 3.5. That's just sort of a hedge play. Because I could see Vanderbilt winning. I could see Kansas State winning this by 14. I don't know. I think Vanderbilt to me is could be really good this year. I'm really impressed with Kyle Shurmur, their quarterback. And that's always been something that Derek Mason hasn't had. I think they'll play really good defense. I think obviously Kansas State is going to play really good defense. I don't know what to think in this game other than that I think it will be a really good football game. I have no problem with playing the under there.
Rashad Penny, while Donnell Pumphrey was getting pumped up for Heisman, 2,000 yards rushing, 17 touchdowns, Rashad Penny casually with 1,000 yards rushing and 11 touchdowns last
year. I think as far as NFL prospects go, Penny's a better NFL prospect than Pumphrey's going to be. I mean, he's not going to have nearly the kind of rushing totals that Pumphrey had at San Diego State, but I think just as an overall running back, Penny's a dude to keep an eye on.
If you're looking for just like an over to just put your money on and hang on tight and just hope and ride. Pray it's gonna happen. just ride. Just have a few beers late at night and see what happens. Ole Miss Cal,
yeah,
72 points. That game is gonna be that may be it. In the 90s. I mean, Ole Miss, I'm convinced, can score on anybody. And that defense, I'm not convinced, can stop anybody. You know, we know what Cal can typically do. I don't know if I wouldn't play this, but I just think that could be a fun over to try to hit with 72 points.
I was looking at Ole Miss minus 3.5. Thinking about taking them, but shied away just because it could get weird, and I don't want to be sweating that.
I would take Ole Miss over Cal if I had to make a play on it. But yeah, that game's got a lot of weird. There's a high weird ratio in that one.
No doubt.
One more that I would note that I just thought was a weird line was how is UVA? UVA is a 10-point dog at home to UConn. 1 week after being a 3-point dog at home to Indiana. I'm missing something on that line.
Yeah, no, UVA's the favorite.
They're the favorite. Oh, my bad. I misread that. Okay. So
no, because you just startled the hell out of me for I was like, wait, what?
that makes more sense now. That makes more sense. I jotted that down wrong. So all right. Now I get it.
But what is Virginia doing being a 10.5-point favorite over anybody?
10.5-point favorite at home. Like, how is Virginia favored by 10 in any game?
Yeah, that's true also. That game is – I don't plan on wasting my time watching that one, but I'll check a box score there.
Did y'all see the clip of the UConn center quarterback practicing the kneeling? Before UConn's season opening win.
No.
The statement that came with the clip was, it's been a while. Got to get them practices in.
So they're practicing kneels.
Yeah.
Because when else are they going to get the chance?
Because UConn's quarterbacks haven't been out here with many opportunities to kneel in the fourth quarter. This is a new thing. New era. Randy Edsall, baby. Oh, man.
I have before we go, I got one more that I forgot to mention that was my near fifth pick this week that I shied away from. Air Force Michigan over 47.5.
Ooh.
That was one that I think Air Force is gonna figure out a way to score some points just because of that offense is just they're pretty good there. Defensively, they don't look very good. Michigan's gonna get some big plays, gonna hit some long balls. I think I kind of like that, 17 kind of win. Does that get me over?
Yeah. 38-17 gets you over.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be that. That's one that I almost threw out there as one of my recommendations, but I'm gonna lay low on
I'm kind of terrified of Michigan. Just like.
Like the state?
No, just for picking, like, as much confidence as I had going into that Michigan-Florida game, beating the Michigan drum, I don't have the stones to stick by them right now, given how erratic things can be. Like, I feel like we were talking about, deceiving scoreboards. I feel like the win against Cincinnati was a deceiving scoreboard and box score.
Oh yeah, they looked like butt for a lot of that game.
Like entire second, third quarter, just not a very, not a very good football performance. Not encouraging.
Yeah, I don't trust Michigan to cover that spread in that game. It's at 23.5 now. My only concern with the over is that if Michigan does have that option figured out, Air Force ain't gonna be able to score. Period.
Yeah,
because that defensive line is too good. So I think
shutout potential there.
Yeah, there is shutout potential, and I don't know if Michigan's going to do enough scoring to overcome it on its own. So that's what kind of worries me there.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. That's our books are cleaned out. The locks are out there. If as Barton mentioned, if you've been following the syndicate, you're up. Our competition continues. You can follow him at Barton Simmons. You can follow him at Tom Fornelli, and you can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Enjoy the games.
My blue plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks. 5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks? I'm living and dying every point, every cover.